Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we spoke to John Ketley, weatherman and Burnley fan, and we heard some great stories about Vincent Kompany via Neda Manua.
Yes.
And we played Celebrity Combination Lot. That was a very busy section of the show.
Very nice.
So you've got all that to look forward to. We also found out about an incredible ultra run. The man that came up with the idea, although he's never done it himself, interestingly, through injury, talked us through it. It is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's hard. And then he's added another element that makes it like maddening as
well. It does, as you'll hear. We had a chat. You got involved. You were on great form today. Gave us some very, very good stuff. So thank you for all of that. Charlie had a bit of a find. A listener came to his rescue.
Yeah, I was thrilled. I'm absolutely and, been looking
And we
ages.
Talked about massages. Anyway, it's all here. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Good afternoon, Paul. Have you forgiven yet? Not me. Not me for the birthday spread, Paul.
That's got a lot to run after last week's shambolic showing.
It's not going to be like that Banshees of Inn. You're not going to start chopping your fingers off.
Hopefully not. No. We'll see how it pans out.
Have you forgiven Lloris yet?
Yeah, look.
I know you probably spoke about it a lot yesterday.
I did. It is happening a little bit too often, really. And I think, you know, he's going to see the season out. I mean, he'll know, to be honest. I'm surprised he's not come out and said, put his hands up, which would be quite handy, wouldn't it, really? And angle them forward as opposed to backwards. Okay, I put my hands up. Well, that's a start. It's two home games running, he's done it.
Yeah.
But look, you know, you don't want to single out individuals, although when you're a goalkeeper, that becomes much easier, of course. That's why it's the toughest gig in the team.
It feels like basics, little basics, isn't it? That sort of thing. That's when you get
just off it against Villa. One bounces off his chest, he should save. But look, I mean, it's been brilliant. And I think it was Danny Kelly was saying on his Tottenham podcast, it's not often you find yourself in a situation where you have over 10 years of not worrying about the goalkeeping position, because they're very often true. Very difficult to fill. And he's been brilliant for most of it, so... You know, we have to forgive him one or two, although it is very frustrating in the moment, especially in a derby.
Yeah, very well. That's
I've got
what
to be honest. I touched on this yesterday. I had Jim talking about it earlier on, and I've got. You know, thinking about what Richarlison has said overnight about it was disrespectful to our fans. I mean, I think he has to take a look in the mirror. He might be our player. You've got to put club loyalties aside. But he is the sort of S-house as a footballer. We all know it. We know it, Evan. You know what he's like. He's like it when he's on the pitch. And he would be the first player in front of the Arsenal fans if we won 2-0 at the Emirates. He'd be giving it to them. The idea that he's taken, you know, this, what's ever happened to the Corinthian spirit? says Richarlison.
I can't believe the fuss about this. I really cannot believe the fuss about it. He's not done a lot. All he's done is tap the badge.
Yeah, look, as I said, we've seen it all before.
We've seen it before. He'll have been getting dogs for 45 minutes.
Well, probably longer.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, our players have done it. Rafa van der Vaart runs behind the goal, shushing the Arsenal crowd right in front of them. So it's not like it's a one-way street.
Sometimes football fans need to grow up.
Yeah.
They just need to just take it. Just get on with it.
As I said, you've got to take your beating. The thing that really annoyed me about that is that Richarlison barely played for Tottenham. He's been injured, or he's been thinking about the World Cup. He's finally back and he starts putting his hands in the face and pushing the Arsenal goalie. Could have got himself a red card. Could have got himself three games at a time when they clearly need him, and the way Son's playing, he could get some starts.
Yeah.
So it was an idiotic thing to do. It was just so stupid to get involved. He'd only been on the pitch 20 minutes and he hadn't done a great deal. Anyway, I didn't intend to talk about that.
No, nor did I.
It's dead to me. I don't want to talk about it. It didn't happen.
Do you want to talk about the goal I scored last night at five-a-side, Paul, or do you want to move on to the actual show?
You can talk us through it.
I mean, I was terrible all night, absolutely terrible all night, but I ran onto one, first touch, bottom corner, Paul.
Wow.
Oh, I felt like a pro.
So it saved your evening?
Saved my evening, because for the rest of the evening, absolutely terrible. It was minus two.
Yes.
A bloke was playing in Salopettes.
Oh, that's good. Really? Yeah. Playing in Salopettes?
He's got a bad back. He's got a bad back, so he still wanted to play.
So did he have the braces on? Yeah.
Well, he had a top over there. He wasn't bare-shirted, bare-chested. It'd
be like playing football with Rod, Jane and Freddie, wouldn't it? Did he have the shirt underneath the braces?
No, over the braces. A top over, like a jumper
That's a real wasted opportunity. I'd love to see someone playing football in a pair of braces. That'd be great.
Salopettes and some gloves.
I remember Andy was telling me years ago, he went to, when his son was a teenager, his youngest lad, Dan, when they went to Chelsea together, and it was freezing bitter conditions, a night like this even colder. And he was sitting there, even in his Polish army overcoat that I've told you about before, that keeps you warm in any conditions. It's an amazing thing. It weighs about 3 tons. It puts about 5 stone onto Andy when he wears it. He's never worn it in any environment.
He's got to wear it in one day.
He's not schwitzing. But anyway, we digress. Dan was wearing a diving suit under his clothes. He said, "Why are you cold tonight?" I'm neoprene, Dad. He's wearing a full diving suit in the game.
A wetsuit.
So if you've played in Salopettes or you've worn a diving suit in the game, some unusual dress for the match, whether watching or playing, do let us know. TalkSport.com/H&J. Text to 81089. Tweet to TSH&J. Also today, we want to hear from you. If you've ever offered any advice to the stars, because that's what Erik ten Hag is doing with the fledgling manager, Johan Cruyff, saying to him, you know, you've got to be careful about shouting at the youth team players.
Yeah, yeah.
And he sounds quite similar. He's got that slight gruffness in his voice, even at 13. So we'll play you a bit of that later. But have you ever offered advice to the stars, and did they take it?
I was at the Ryder Cup at Celtic Manor.
Oh, yeah.
Once, and I was Tiger Woods was about, I'd say, 3 feet from me, about to hit on a par three.
Yeah.
And he pulled out his 7-iron and I went, "Wow, that's never a 7-iron, Tiger."
Did you say him, or was you just found yourself saying
it? He was there. You can get very close to the
golf. So was it a bit like
the
birthday spread last week? Did you go, "A 7-iron?"
I don't remember. All I remember is winning. That's all I remember.
So did he look at you? Did he give you a bit of a look?
Well, of course he did. I mean, how much?
Wouldn't it have been great?
If he'd gone, "Actually, you're right."
If he put it away and got the 9-iron out or something.
And then hole in one.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
What about that? Lovely. And he just pointed at you,
and then
Charlie.
Me, I went round the world forever.
Signed a glove.
Tiger. I'll drive, Tiger.
Yeah.
I'll drive. You know, just how it was.
The fickle finger of fate, exactly. A life-changing moment. Charlie
could
Baker.
Have been.
But instead, you're sitting here next to me.
Ah, perfect. Yeah. Better than caddying for Tiger Woods. The equivalent, Paul.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
The equivalent.
So anyway, have you offered advice to the stars in any shape? It could be. It could be sport, or it could be showbiz, or whatever. But
yeah, not from the sidelines. I will say, not, you don't, you know, what you shout at the manager.
No. But I mean, if you've had an opportunity to say, "I've watched you do what you do, and I've just has anybody ever workshopped you, Charlie? Has anybody ever said to you, 'I like that gag, but have you thought of ending it like this?'"
You get offered gags all the time.
Yeah, you're like this.
They are always the worst joke you've ever heard in your life.
So anyway, let us know. TalkSport.com/H&J, text to 81089, tweet to TSH&J. Jim Shelley says, "A bloke who cheats at the birthday spread, telling football fans to grow up."
There's no cheating.
Got a point there,
no
Jim.
There's no cheating.
A very good point, well
Absolutely
made.
Absolutely no cheating.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Because of the adverse conditions, Charlie played football last night with a fella who was in Salopettes to keep warm. But not braces on the outside. He should have had the shirt underneath. He should have gone Rod, Jane and Frenny and didn't, sadly. Paul, when we were nippers, my mate Alan Stanley and I used to wear our sister's knitted tights under our jeans to keep warm on cold mid-week evening matches. Worked a treat, says Ben from the New Forest. So that's a little tip for you there.
Lovely, why not?
And giving advice to the stars, we're looking for those.
This one from Andrew Hayward isn't quite what we're looking for, but, you know, it is advice, Paul. Mm. Was it a work hospitality event? And Pat Cash was there.
Oh, yeah.
He saw me using my phone, asked me about it, and I gave him the advice and the benefits of it. An absolute gent. There we are. So that's nice. Not quite what we're after, but...
talked him through the benefits of the phone.
Of this phone, you know.
Of that particular handset.
Yeah.
Like, was he working for Carphone Warehouse or something? I'd actually, Pat, I'd go for the all-inclusive... 200-minute unlimited download. He'd be very... only ask, mate, what... that's a nice phone, but Pat cashing. Blimey, I wish I hadn't asked.
Making a few quid on a corporate, yeah. Just being polite.
Yeah, that's right. I just couldn't think of anything else to say to this bloke from... That's a nice... phone.
Nokia 3210. Yeah, it's got a long battery life, actually. Pat,
looking over the bloke's shoulder, saying, help me, help me.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
You are telling us about giving advice to the stars. This is from Robin. He said, England versus Portugal, Villa Park. Heskey not giving him a bit of clog, and we suggested quite loudly that he should tuck his shirt in and make more of an effort. To our surprise, he immediately tucked his shirt in, although his performance in that game didn't really change.
Yeah, I don't think tucking your shirt in
doesn't really. I don't know, maybe it sends a message. And my friend Wilco was filming with Colin Jackson and decided it'd be a good idea to show Colin the perfect hurdling technique. By the first hurdle, it was clear he was not a world record winning hurdler.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Advice of the stars you're telling us about this afternoon. We're going to hear from a 13-year-old Erik ten Hag later on, offering a bit of advice to fledgling manager Johan Cruyff. Yeah. So interesting
when you get the ball,
stuff.
Just turn...
Yeah,
just turn back on yourself.
A bit showy. I think he was, he had some good advice for him. But anyway, we'll bring you that later. This comes from Luke. He said, I was working at the local Holiday Inn and had Bournemouth FC staying before they played Morecambe FC when they were both in League Two. I gave Eddie Howe advice on Morecambe's danger, man. He'd obviously seen a bit of the team. Clearly, Eddie didn't listen because they lost 5-0.
Oh, I wonder who that was at that point. Maybe Jeff Horsfield or someone at that point.
Could that era, could it? Makes me think,
I want to look that up now.
We had another one, didn't we, as well, Charlie? This was, I bumped into footballer Warren Barton. He was trying not to be recognised. I told him to avoid being noticed. The best thing was probably not to wear a leather jacket with a fur collar or sunglasses on a dark winter's afternoon in Newcastle. Oh, cutting.
That's well done, Derek.
Derek, the Toon Army postie.
I can see Warren Barton in that.
You can see in that get-up. Yeah, I was trying not to be recognised. Now, ultra running.
Yes.
Really. I mean, I'm breathing out my backside after about 5K. But, I mean...
People do hundreds of miles.
Oh, yeah. Bob. I know. But imagine, this is not just mileage. It's the environment you're doing it in. This is a quite incredible thing. The Tunnel Ultra. It's a 200-mile ultra marathon on a mile-long underground tunnel.
Oh, it's not. They don't like. Well, end up, they don't like end up in France.
No, it's a tunnel course. Okay. So you run a mile one way, then you run a mile the other way, and you do that. You do that.
Do you have to keep count yourself, or does someone do it for you?
Well, as I said earlier, let's speak to the sadist who came up with this twisted idea. Ultra runner himself for many years, Mark Cobain joins us. Hiya, Mark.
Hi, Jimmy. Hi.
Oh, wow. What's wrong with you, man? How could you come up with something like torture? There's a piece of music that accompanies it that we're going to play the listeners a bit later on, which adds to it. But, I've kind of explained it briefly. There's not a lot more to it than that, Mark. Is there really? It's just, you know, you're running through a tunnel for 200 miles.
Well, that's it. Yeah, they have to run through a one-mile length of tunnel, and they have to do that 50 times to make up 200 miles. And it's dark throughout the daytime, obviously, and there is some dim lighting in the tunnel, but that's switched off during the night, so it's absolutely pitch black, so they have to rely on head torches. Wow. And it's difficult to see which direction you're really going in. Yeah. So it's quite a challenge.
It's near Bath. It's called Coondown Tunnel, isn't it, a mile south of Bath. How did you come up with the idea? What made you think this would be the perfect site for an ultra? Did someone tip you off, or was it a kind of eureka moment when you went through it or something?
Well, I'm always trying to think of things to sort of make running more difficult for people, and I thought if I can find somewhere where there's sensory deprivation, then that would be ideal. Yeah. And then I thought, well, somewhere underground. So I did a bit of research, and then I came up with a tunnel. I found the tunnel. I went down and had a look, and I thought, this is going to be ideal. And luckily, it was actually 1 mile in length. So I thought, well, what's going to be more monotonous than actually doing 1 mile, you know, every lap? And that's just going to drive people mad, especially with the darkness.
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions. What was the tunnel originally used for? Do you know?
I think it was some kind of railway line. So I think it was an underground railway.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
width. I'm worried about width. Is what do people can people overtake if someone's being a bit slow in front of them?
You run it, and you run it on your own. You don't have any company, do you, or anything?
We have about 30 starters, but actually they space out quite nicely when they're in the tunnel over the distance. So you're effectively on your own for the whole time. So you can overtake. It is a tunnel that's been sort of designed for pedestrians to come through and cyclists. But so there is plenty of room in the tunnel.
Do you have any shortage of people applying to do this, and what's the kind of criteria then? Because you don't want any time wasters, because it will make your job very hard.
Yeah, no, everybody that applies has to have at least done a 100-mile ultramarathon, but normally the people that apply are of a certain kind of mindset. You know, they've done a lot of crazy ultramarathons before, so they know what to expect. So I literally tell them it is low-key and it's going to be horrible. And that really appeals to a certain small amount of runners out there. And it's surprising. I mean, it has it's full for this coming year. So there are plenty of people that want to do it, surprisingly, you know. So.
Yeah, one of my favourite documentaries, sports documentaries, is, you'll have seen it, I'm sure, the Berkeley Marathon. I don't know if you've ever entered it. Well, I don't know if you've ever seen it, Paul. They have... With that, you sort of have to be invited, half invited.
Yeah.
They don't really put how you enter anywhere online. You sort of have to hear about it. The cost to enter it changes every year, and sometimes it's
in California.
Sometimes it's like a shirt. Yeah. You know, the bloke, or and you have to take a number plate. I mean, there's all sorts of crazy rules. Do you have any crazy rules like that, or is it just turn up?
Not really. I mean, it's just apply first, and then we'll have a look at your CV and everything. You know. That you're going to be good enough to enter, really, then everybody's welcome. But there is a waiting list now, so it's become quite popular, really.
And so people can't have headphones on, so there is a piece of music though, accompanies them in the tunnel, booming out. It's like something from The Prisoner. This, it's this little riff on a violin. Let's play the music you hear in the tunnel as you do your 200 miles. It's like someone's isolated the violin track on a Dexy song, isn't it? It's just messing with your head. Can we hear Kevin sitting there going, he could be listening to Good Afternoon, Kevin. He does listen to Talk. Said, can we just hear the violins? Just the violin.
Just that.
Just the violin. But it's...
It's not someone sitting there playing it live, is it? That'd be nice. Someone just dressed as a little old witch playing it live.
That's a nice idea.
There is an art installation in the middle of it, and there's just some kind of strange light in the middle, and that music's on constantly. So, I mean, I was getting flashbacks when you played it just then. I haven't even run it, so I don't know. It drives the runners mad. So they've got to put up with that and the darkness as well. So they get mad.
What are they doing in there? The darkness. Justin
in
Hawkins.
There as well, It's big into
now,
it.
You've let the cat out of the bag there. You've run 199 marathons, you did 106 ultras, but you had to pack up a few years back because of injuries. So you've not done this yourself, have you, Mark?
No, I don't think I'd really want to neither, but... I can't run myself anymore, so this is why I started creating some of these events, because all the pounding takes its toll on your joints and your knees, and my knees are just shot to pieces now. So
and you said you don't have any shortage of people who want to do it, but there has there's been a shortage of people that finish it. I mean, is that right? Over the 3 years you've done it, you've only had 13 finishers.
Yeah, I think in the first year there was only two people finish, and then we got a few more the year after, and then we had our first female finisher the last time we were on. Surprise, we've got some more female entries for this year, quite a few, and I think that's off the back of that female finisher. So hopefully we'll get a few more finishers this time round. Wow.
If people are too many people are finishing, it's not hard enough, Paul. You see? So that's the way it goes.
So you've got your full quota for this year. When's the race coming up then, Mark?
It's the end of March, the last weekend in March.
Okay. But in future, is there a sort of website people can go to if they want to register their interest for the future or find out a bit more about it?
Yeah, all my events are on corbianevents.com. That's CORBAIN events.com.
Brilliant. Yeah, I've just pressed the link through to that. Right. And all the info's there that tells you about it. And well, look, fascinating stuff. Cheers, Mark. Good to talk to you.
Cheers now. Thanks.
Thanks then.
Mark Cobain there, the man that came up with the tunnel, but said he wouldn't be that keen to do it himself,
the
challenge.
That music would drive you mad. I hate, I don't know if you like music like I do, Paul, because we often just chat about music and not sport.
Yeah.
But if I hear music, I really tune into it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever had a massage when they play that sort of...
Oh, yeah, the new age stuff. Yeah.
I can't, if it's got a loop on it, I cannot relax in the massage. I have to say, can you turn the music off?
Really?
Because I'll be going, and then we're going back round, and there's the middle eight.
Come in, yeah,
and
that's
now we're coming in, and that note's a bit off.
Then the horns come in.
It drives me nuts.
No, you do. I know you mean you just have to be able to switch off.
I can't switch out from it, so the music would do me in there.
So when you're having your massage... They play music where you have your massages.
I've only ever had about three. Yeah. Best one I ever had was by the Argentine rugby team, Massus.
Wow.
Well, yes. hold that thought. We'll never hear that story.
There's a tease. There's a tease for you if ever there was one.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
You're telling us this afternoon also about giving advice to the stars.
Yes.
We've got a corker here.
There's a belter here, yeah. It was from my mate Grant, says that when he met Pelé through his then father-in-law, Ernie Walker.
Who was the head of the SFA, I think, back in the day. Yeah, yeah.
Met him at Dunblane Hydro in the 80s, that he told him to always head the ball down, Pelé.
Well, he did against Gordon Banks and he saved it, didn't he?
He saved it. Bad advice.
Yes, my mate knows Michael Thomas, the ex-Arsenal, you know, up for grabs now, Michael Thomas. He brought him down to our Monday six-a-side a few years ago. And the worst player on the pitch kept shouting at him, "Mickey, play the way you're facing, son. You're not good enough for that stuff."
Great advice.
Neil, very, very good. Something else to get you going on this afternoon involves Max Verstappen. He was taking part in a simulation race, a 24-hour simulation race, doing the Le Mans event. And it was all going very well. His team was in the lead after 18 hours. But the server disconnected. So he's 18 hours into a 24-hour race. Team winning, and the server disconnects. He's gone a bit mad. He's not happy with it. He said it's incompetent.
Was he on dial-up?
It's a clown competition, he said. Very, very upset about it. speaking on his team's Twitch stream. They call it amazingly bad luck. Well, it wasn't. It was just incompetence. They can't control their game. This is the third time this has happened to me now. So a third time he's gone back. I reckon they're turning it off on purpose.
Oh, Max. It's gone.
Oh, Max
it's
will gone. Have a gob on. Let's just unplug him.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
My mate, first year he was at Bristol at uni. He used to go and see him. And
yeah. Great city.
There was a good pub. I don't know what it was called. Maybe somebody remember.
Oh, yeah.
It had the greatest jukebox I've ever seen in a pub. It had Springtime for Hitler from the producers on the jukebox. Mel Brooks.
Yeah,
it was sensational.
Yeah, well, fantastic.
It's to sell this kind of military-grade, very rough scrumpy as
yeah,
well.
Oh, lovely. Was, oh, yeah, sounds blimey. Good.
To go right through you. Yeah, we're going to that
did,
now.
Yeah.
So, Charlie, how did you come? You said the best massage you ever got was from the Argentinian rugby
massage. It's a little bit clangy, the story. Do you remember the Wipeout, Paul? Total Wipeout.
Yeah, yeah. Our old mate Ali Ross's favourite show.
Did Total Wipeout Christmas special. Mm. And
when did you film it?
Oh, I can't remember.
March?
Like, I mean, we're talking 10 years ago at least.
Right.
It would have been
what a lovely
March.
Gig, though. Travel to Argentina.
Oh, smashing, yeah. A week in Buenos Aires.
That was
absolutely
a nice call
lovely.
From the agent. Do you fancy
Oh, yeah. Do you fancy a week? I went with Peter Shilton. I've told you the Peter Shilton side of the story before. I was out quite quickly because I was, you know, not great at it, Paul.
Okay, fair enough.
It involved swimming and trying to be elastic over sort of four or five big red balls. It was absolutely exhausting.
Yeah, it looked it. It did.
It was absolutely awful. Yeah. I thought this is going to be great fun.
Did you go out first round?
It was awful. Oh, no, second round.
Okay.
Second round. But everyone got injured.
Who was worse than you? Can you tell us?
Well, Peter Shilton was in his 60s.
Oh, Pete, was he went out first, didn't he?
Yeah, Pete went out.
Oh, okay.
And
it was a good name, though,
there was someone else went out very quickly because he got injured, and I think he then took it to court, so I don't think I should probably talk about it. And I think it's the reason you can't find it anywhere online. I've looked for the episode.
It got
absolutely everywhere.
It got legal.
It got legal.
Yeah,
because everyone gets injured. Everyone was doing their necks and their legs and all sorts of stuff. So they have on site a masseuse. Mm. Masseuse? Masseurs? What are you saying?
Yeah, masseuse.
I'm saying masseuse. He was the Argentine rugby team masseuse. Little fella, about 5'2".
Yeah.
He was the strongest hands you've ever seen on a man.
Hands like shovels.
Unbelievable. Big, big shovely hands on him.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I'd have married him. Oh, my God. It was the best massage I've had in my life.
Wow.
I walked out, honestly, I've never felt as good
really?
Since.
Did you tell him?
He never writes, he never rings.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Nothing.
We dance for a while. You didn't have that new age music for this song.
No music.
No panpipes.
It was just get down, big strong hands on the 5'2" bloke.
Wow.
That man at arms sort of guy, you know.
How about
that?
Like,
absolutely brilliant.
You wondered that's how
Eddie Edwards won it. It's not online, Paul. You can't find it.
Eddie the Eagle won it. Wow. What about that?
He was amazing at it. And Ashley from Coronation Street.
Oh,
he was
okay.
on it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Did you do an impression of him?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yes, good afternoon. Paul Hawksby, Charlie Baker here on Talksport. Advice to the Stars you were telling us about this afternoon. And I once told Fred Couples at the British Open at Sandwich to cheer up as he was playing in the greatest championship in the world and also on one of the best golf courses in the country, and the sun was shining. He just looked at me and gave me a very dirty look, says
Jason. They love
that.
Jason, love that golf.
That's great advice.
Imagine your privilege. Think of your privilege. My dad, this is from MG, my dad met Lennox Lewis whilst opening an electric store in Stockport.
Yeah.
He was about to fight in the US for the first time. My dad told him to watch what he was eating in the States, as they might slip him something. We then read he was taking his mother to cook for him. Great advice, Paul, wasn't
it? Yeah, that is. That's
fantastic.
Very, very good.
And here's Andy from West London. I don't know if it's our Andy from West London.
You never know.
It
could be.
I was on a plane with Ranieri while Chelsea manager, and me and my mates, all Chelsea fans, got talking to him and suggested he buy Joe Cole. 3 weeks later, he did.
Well, Andy, it was all down to Andy from West London. Man. I imagine they'd been sniffing around before that, of course.
Yeah, I can imagine,
So,
your massage story, Paul. Yeah. I'm into it now.
You were telling us that, because you were saying that when they have that kind of new agey music on and you're having a massage, you ask them to turn it off because you get too into the music and you can't relax.
I can hear the loop, Paul.
You're waiting for the middle eight to come round again.
You don't like it.
So, and then you told us that when you did Total Wipeout, which is why the listener has found that clip hype for you. You had your hands were laid on you by the Argentinian rugby masseurs, yeah. Small men, but were hands like shovels.
It
was
amazing.
It's a great experience.
Oh, wonderful.
When I worked at Chelsea, I worked at the club. We had a guy who worked in the accounts department. I cannot remember. He's a lovely bloke, but he was a bit. There was a kind of innocence about him. He was quite a young guy, quite an innocent young guy, sort of married guy.
Yeah,
and he played a fair bit of sport. And stuff, you know, football and squash and everything. And he just said one day, he said, "Oh, I've playing too much squash. I've a bit of a frozen shoulder, and I've been having a few issues." And we're saying, "Should you know, maybe sort of get a bit of a massage on that? You know, might be able to loosen it up and free it up." So he came in a couple of days later, and he said, "He said I went and I took your advice, and I went and got a massage." He said, "I found this place on Kilburn High Road," and it was something like, I don't know what it was called. It might have been called Palm Tree Massage.
Okay, yeah.
So he goes in there. And says, "I'd like a massage, please." "Yes, yeah, certainly, sir." You know, you're getting the idea already. This sort of establishment. Yes. We're probably talking. This is a real. Wasn't its name, but anyway. So he goes in there and take your clothes, sit down, lay on the thing, with the towel around him and everything. And there probably was a bit of New Age, I don't know what was playing in there. So he laid on the bed and a young lady came in and said, "Well, what, you know." And he said, "I think it's rotator cuff, basically. I think it's just a bit of tightening around the road. And, you know, the quads have been a bit tight. It has been affecting my game." And she's giving a proper 1,000-yard stare. And she's saying, "Well, I don't know if this is more of a relaxing massage." So we're sitting there with hands and heads saying,
"Oh, no.
Not really a sport. You should have gone to a sport."
Yeah.
We meant. And he said, it was a bit odd. He said, "It was very, very relaxed. It was very nice." He said, "But I don't think she really got to the root of the problem with my shoulder."
Sort it out.
She went, no, she wouldn't. She hadn't got an ultrasound machine. And we were just laughing. And I said, "No. What did the gaffer say about it?" He said, "Oh, we're missus." I went home. She just shaking her head, saying, "What are you like?" You know, he just went back and said, "You never guess. I've just gone for a massage." And she's like,
"Oh,
knows
man.
What he's like."
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Anyway, doesn't it? I can't go into any more detail than that.
It's as much as we can get. Just fill in the gap.
I just like that moment when he walks in and lays down, the young lady, and he goes, "Yeah, predominantly rotator cuff issue, and just loosen it up in that area." Fantastic. Like, going to see a proper. Anyway.
Lovely.
What else have we got here? I got stuck behind a four ball, including Gabby Agbonlahor at a local municipal course about 15 years ago. Not sure if Gabby actually heard any of the advice being offered, but there was plenty being suggested after 2 hours and only five holes, says Robin again. He's got a few stories today.
I've been stuck behind a few footballers playing golf, actually, and they're not always as good as you hope they
really?
Are a lot of the time. I mean, I'm not as good as I hope I am at golf, but, you know, they do...
Are you aware of the fact my mate Dave has just contacted me earlier on? He lives over Dorking Way, and he went into his deli, and on the shelf he has spotted three bottles of John Terry wine.
Oh, very nice!
You know, John's gone into the wine business.
Is he?
Yeah, well, he clearly.
And just turned up with the bottles and like got the labels on and everything set up, but not actually no wine inside.
It's a bottle of red, bottle of rosé, and a bottle of white.
Right,
I mean, they're in the sort of they're about the 20 quid, 25 quid mark. So,
but if it was too cheap, you'd think that's cheap. I'm not going to touch
not
that.
Not too cheap.
So he's priced it right.
I looked it up. Apparently, he'd sort of set it up sort of tail end of last year. They announced it.
Yeah.
So, let me show you the bottle. Camera number three. Oh,
very nice.
JT Wines.
JT Wines.
JT 26, the JT.
It's not him doing it at home with a, you know, on it in his bath.
In a big bucket. A
big bucket.
In his bath. I don't think so. No, he's obviously.
Squashing some.
He's obviously teamed up with his Italian contacts through.
Ever had any homebrew, Paul? Yeah. My dad made parsnip wine three years ago, right?
Yeah.
From just parsnips he'd grown in the garden.
Mm.
And this, it was meths.
Yeah.
He gave us all, like, for Christmas, like, he'd put it in a bottle himself and give it all like quite a big ceremony with this part. And this stuff, I'm not joking, we used it to light the fire.
I did try it once. It was only a partial success. It was drinkable and it had the desired effect. I was about 18.
Yeah.
Me and a mate made it in a bucket and it was, had the desired effect, but it wasn't tasty. Put it that way. It was
leave it to the professionals.
Yeah, I think that's why you do, isn't it? Vice of the Stars, as a 9-year-old growing up in Warwickshire in the 1980s, we had Gladstone Small come into our school one day to tell us what it was like to play for Warwickshire in England. Coming from a British Asian background and slightly cricket mad, my advice to him was that he should simply bowl a bit faster to get more wickets. I think he took that on board, says G from Warwick.
Thank you very much.
It's great, yeah, isn't it, when you hand out these little bits of, these little nuggets of, these little pearls of wisdom to
always
the stars.
Good. Anyway, our Greedo's been in touch. That fella saying he met Ranieri on the train, on the plane it was, and convinced him to sign Joe Cole is still better than their current transfer policy. Oh, yeah. That's a shame. What a
shame. They've gone back to it. Now, this an occasional series. Is this what Lord Reith had in mind? of course, the founder of the BBC,
of course, yes.
Famous Lord John Reith. He said that TV was there to inform, educate and entertain. So I don't think you can argue that tonight on Channel 4 at 8 p.m, know your... This is the word, begins with S, ends with T, four letters. Know you're inside our guts.
Okay.
This is tonight's show. It's presented by twin DJs, Lisa and Alana McFarlane. And it's about gut health.
Lovely.
Normally about gut health, but they are experts in this field, apparently, apart from being DJs. It's that classic gut health DJ hybrid.
Of course.
It one kind of leads on to the
Not
other,
again.
Doesn't it? And this is what you can expect, Charlie.
Yep.
I do expect Ali Ross to be looking at this in his Sun column on Friday, and indeed maybe Mike Ward to tell us about it in his section with us on a Friday. Throughout the series, contributors with all manner of gut ailments arrive at the Poo HQ,
nice.
Goodness sake. And the team basically delve into their issues. This week, Charlie, so don't touch that dial at okay. 8 tonight, we meet a poo-shy model who doesn't go for weeks at a time and a burlesque-loving retiree suffering from embarrassing incontinence. Is this what Lord Reith had in
mind? I thought you were going to say Limahl when you said poo-shy. Poo-shy-shy. Shy.
It wasn't that.
Hush-hush, I do I.
Maybe that's no. the thing, Charlie.
That'd be lovely.
But is that what Lord Reith had in mind? Well,
we can learn. You've seen the Bristol stool chart. Haven't you? People have that up in their toilet sometimes.
Yeah, we're not going to go into
bathrooms.
That now, are we? It's quite close to lunchtime.
Get Terry back on.
No,
from Bristol.
Get Terry back on.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, as you're probably aware, it's bitter out. We've had a cold snap.
It is.
And
it's fresh, Paul.
We haven't got the snow around my way in just outside sort of central London. But you, Charlie, you're down in Oxford. What's it been like
no,
there?
No, but it was -6 this morning. Getting into the car takes Dan to school this morning was -6. So it's getting to that stage. I don't know if you used to do this at school. If it gets to -8, they legally can't keep us at school.
Yeah, the kids are desperate looking through the...
They have to send us home. It's against the law.
The education, that's right. We can't go in. We can't sit in those conditions. Anyway, we bring that up because our next guest is weatherman, Burnley fan, man we often turn to in extreme conditions. He's going to play Celebrity Combination Lock, but it's John Kettley. Hello, John.
Hello, good afternoon to you, Paul. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Hi, John.
Yeah, were we expecting this? What's causing this little kind of cold snap?
Well, this is the Arctic air, isn't it? This is the Arctic air coming down way from the north. So it's the sort of thing that we do get occasionally in the wintertime. It's just that we're not used to it. And I just heard the traffic report there. There's icicles coming down across the M4 as well. They're coming down off a bridge above. So we get all sorts of issues when you get these cold conditions. You get snow, of course. You get very icy roads and pavements if they're not gritted. And ice accretion as well. That's something we're going to have to watch out for in the next few days as well, because we get the snow sticking onto the overhead wires and power cables, and that's the sort of thing that can bring them down, and you have your power failures. It's not nice.
No. Is this going to be just this week? It's not in for a long time. Is it just passing through?
Yeah, I think it is really just mostly this week up until Saturday morning, probably. Over the weekend, there are milder conditions coming into the west. There'll be some rain out there over in Ireland, West Scotland maybe, but Ireland into West Wales and the West Country. But at the moment, you'd have to say that this cold air is going to be pretty stubborn. It's the sort of thing that does happen with cold air when it takes over in the winter. It can be difficult to shift it. And that goes for the heavy rain that's been covering the Channel Islands all morning. It's still there. It's been sitting there for hour upon hour now. It's not going anywhere in a hurry. That's the sort of thing that happens. Everything gets a bit blocked.
Now, we've been hearing today, John, piece in The Guardian, the return of El Nino, the climate phenomenon later this year will cause global temperatures to rise off the chart and deliver unprecedented heat waves, John. What are your charts telling you?
Another great headline, yeah. Well, we wait with bated breath. Well, of course, last year we did get that record temperature, didn't we? 40.3 in Coningsby in Lincolnshire. So that was a bit of a bolt from the blue. We've gradually seen these temperatures getting higher and higher, and who's to say it won't happen? But, this is the climate, this is global warming and all the rest of it. Doesn't mean to say it will happen. and you could finish it with a wet summer. Who knows?
Yeah, no, that's quite possible. Let's talk a bit of Burnley, because it's going remarkably well still, isn't it,
for
your team?
Well, that's right. We've still got 19 games to go. I reckon we can get 116 points now.
Wow.
So that would be quite impressive. But I think one of the toughest games is going to be on Friday night. Are we covering it on TalkSport?
I would imagine we are. We've got the game. We have definitely got the game.
Well, that's great, isn't it? Because that's going to be a corker, I think. Yeah, it's going to be a good game, that one. West Brom have certainly hit some form, and although we did struggle a little bit against Coventry, that's the sort of thing that can happen. You don't expect to win every game, so I don't think we will get 116 points, but I'd be very happy with a century. It is going well.
Yeah.
Very good indeed.
Right. We've got some clips, actually, from Ned Amanura, an old teammate, of course, at City of Vincent Kompany.
Oh, yeah.
And he thinks, you're not going to like this. Although, having said that, he could be managing in the Premier League with Burnley next year. This is what Ned had to say about Vincent Kompany as a manager.
It's unfair that Vinny is coaching in the Championship because he's so far ahead of all the other managers that are in that division. From the way he looks at the game, the way he coaches the players, like everything, he said he's a million miles ahead of all of them. And you look at it, and they're 16 points clear of the team in third, so they're almost certain to go up automatically, and that's his first job in England. They say, like, some managers have really good ideas, but they don't know how to implement them. But firstly, commands the respect because it's him firstly. But he'll say things like, you know, how would you like to get more touches of the ball in a game? Who's going to say no? He'll say, well, this is how we're going to do it. How would you like to score more goals? Yeah. Well, we're going to press higher, and this is the why. So he always has something at the end of the conversation that will bring people on board. And from a preparation standpoint, he's got it sorted. He's got the idea, he's got the vision. He's played under some really good managers, but he's still very much himself. And the fact that you can take Burnley from a team that doesn't really want to play to a team that insists on playing and find success with it, I think it says a lot about him.
You're agreeing with all that, John?
Yeah. Yes, I think that was fantastic. That was a very good summary. And the big difference, of course, is with Vincent Kompany from the Sean Dyche years, is that he's got these lads running about, keeping the ball as well, but at the same time, shooting. And I think that was one of the problems with Burnley of old. We didn't actually take too many chances on goal. And now we're just shooting for fun, quite frankly. A lot of the shots are going in too. That's the amazing thing about it. They're prepared to have a go. They're running all over the field. And they've got a lot of enthusiasm. Young players, of course, as well.
If I was a Burnley fan listening to that, I'd be thinking, shut up.
Yeah, don't keep talking him up. He's not a greatly kept secret, isn't he? But he can get his Premier League fix next year with Burnley. And Adam also had a story to tell about Vincent Kompany kicking Samuel Eto'o up in the air in a pre-season friendly. Nice. Here it is.
There was a game in pre-season, I think it was maybe against Inter Milan, shortly after they'd won the Champions League. I think Samuel Eto'o was playing up front, and Vinny just kept kicking him, in the first half. Eto'o's getting frustrated, because Vinny's resorted to violence because we're not playing well. And at halftime, I think it's the Torre brothers, went up to Vinny and said, come on, man, this is Samuel. You need to just be nice to him. Just be calm. Because it's a pre-season game. You know, it's African icon. And two other African icons are saying, calm down. Vinny said, every time he complains, I'm going to kick him again. Second half, what do you think he did? Kicked him again. And again, and again, and again. Like, Vinny was, for as good as he was on the ball stuff, he was a dog.
So he's got it in him, John. He's still got it in him.
Very nice.
Well, you've got to say that you wouldn't argue with Vinny, would you?
No,
you wouldn't argue with him.
Wouldn't.
And what I think is fantastic about all of this is how the chairman at Burnley had the view about, I don't know how he got him. You know, this is the interesting thing as far as I'm concerned. How on earth did they find him in the first place and want him to come over back to England straight away and know that he could probably get us back into the Premier League? Probably the first opportunity.
It was
inspired.
Fantastic appointment. Brilliant. So let's play Celebrity Combination Lock.
Yes, please.
Here we go.
There it is. Oh, nice.
Welcome to Celebrity Combination Lock with your hosts, Paul Hawksby and lock keeper, Charlie Baker.
Hello.
Yes, our assistant producer, Jamie, cannot produce it today, cannot get into his locker. His gym kit is fetid. It's rank.
It's in there. Been in there for months now.
It's been there for months. He can't get out. We need to find the combination.
It's got a big match tonight. The cup final tonight,
that's right,
Paul.
Cup final tonight for Rovers against City or something. And it's the big one, of course. And he needs to get his kit out. But so that means, John, you need to guess the four numbers on the combination lock.
Don't knock the lock.
And well, I'm not
very good at games, you know. If I'd been on Crackerjack, I would have dropped the cabbage.
Oh, you must have done a bit of... You did celebrity game shows over the years, yeah, did you? John. Did you do Blankety Blank or something? You must have.
I did Blankety Blank way back when, yes, in the back end of probably 1986. Can
that
you
was,
believe it?
Well, Les, was that with Les Dawson?
Was that it? Was with Les Dawson. Wow. What a wonderful man he was. Yeah, yeah. And I also did a sort of It's a Knockout thing down at Minehead at Butlin's for the weekend. And you know, that was August the 2nd and 3rd or something, and it poured with rain the whole time.
Oh. Well, this is every bit as glamorous we can.
Well, I'm
sure you've
got
to do. Let's just tell you of all the people who've played it: Tommy Walsh of Ground Force, Martin of Fire, Rugby League legend, Pub Landlord Al Murray, Bob Mortimer. Yeah. Of all the people who've played it, amongst others, the closest, Rob Orton, lead supporting poet and author. Rob got three numbers in the correct place. Oh. And I can give you the numbers he said. He went 0336. 0336. That was Rob getting three numbers in the correct place. So we give you that information as we ask you for your four numbers in Celebrity Combination Lock, John.
So I can choose any four numbers, can
I? Any four numbers.
Any four numbers, yeah.
Oh.
Knowing that 0336 featured three of them, three in the correct place.
Right. Well, you'd have to say zero.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Two, four, six. Well, that's not right, is it?
No, yeah, I think you might. Well, you could go 0, 2.
0236.
Yeah.
0236. Okay. That must be the winner.
Kettley. Let's there remind you of the numbers.
Let's find the numbers out.
0236. Okay. Here we go. So
I'm inputting the numbers into the lock.
Can we get that?
Just squeezing
City
them through.
Tonight. Yep.
Here we go.
Is it?
No.
Oh,
no,
really?
No, still locked in there. Jamie can't play in the cup final.
Oh,
can't get his kit out,
what
Paul.
What a shame. What a shame.
Does it go to VAR, this?
And all, no, and all the scouts from United were there tonight, apparently. The other big team in the area.
All looking at him.
Wanderers were coming.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
So how many numbers did John get right there, the voice of the lock?
Voice of the lock.
Three.
Got three. Three correct.
Three correct. Well, yeah. Well, of course that's he fantastic. Did. Yeah, 0336 and three of the right numbers.
Only two in the right place.
Only two in the right place.
Okay. Well, look, lovely to talk to you. Keep in the warm, John. We'll catch up with you soon.
Good, lads. Thank
there
you.
Thanks, John.
There's John Kettley, weatherman, Burnley fan. And, that was...
People can't crack the lock, can they?
They can't.
That
they
kit
can't
is
crack
just
the lock.
Stuck in there. It's unbelievable.
We'll bring you more of that Chapman Edamanua. He was speaking to Talk Sport as part of the Raheem Sterling Foundation and Broadcast Academy. But for now, that was Celebrity Combination Lock.
Join us same time next week for more Celebrity Combination Lock.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Talking of Gareth Bale, Charlie,
okay,
there was a number of Welsh fans were calling for the Severn Bridge, of course linking Wales to England, to be renamed after Gareth Bale. They wanted it to be the Gareth Bale Bridge.
Oh, nice.
A man that straddled both countries as a footballer, of course, playing at Spurs and Southampton and for his country.
You famously used to have to pay a toll as well.
That's right.
If you ever wanted to go across Gareth Bale... Yeah. You used to have to pay.
Pay a toll. That's
pay a toll to get in, but not to get out.
No.
Free to get out.
Two petitions saying Prince of Wales Bridge should
Gareth
be called...
Gareth Bale Bridge.
Called Bale Bridge was sent to MPs, but they said it was unsuitable for debate.
Why?
Oh, is it?
Why is it unsuitable for... He's Welsh.
That was the decision. They decided not to bother.
Well, I think that's a bad choice. That's a bad choice. What's your favourite bridge, Paul? Got one? Have you got one?
What's your favourite?
Have you got a favourite bridge?
I've got a favourite bridge to walk across.
Yeah. Got a favourite bridge.
Waterloo Bridge at night.
Is it?
Yeah.
That is nice.
Best view of London
it?
Either yeah, way. So it's,
nice,
it's always get a bit of a lump in my throat. When a Waterloo Bridge at night is fantastic.
Yeah, lovely.
Of course, yeah.
I prefer not Battersea Bridge. What's
I can't
one?
Believe I'm indulging
what's
you.
What's the one along from back the sort of painted pink?
Oh, is that, oh, yeah, what is
pink.
That?
That's
is that
a Chelsea
nice
one. That's Chelsea Bridge. That's a nice
one.
Tamar Bridge is my favourite, Paul.
Tamar Bridge.
I'm always going
come on,
up.
Let's have your fave. No, we really don't. No. I can't believe I shouldn't have bothered.
I love a bridge.
Yeah, I know.
We've done Wayne Bridge, Jamie.
Yeah, we've done Brain Bridge. Don't you bridge-based.
Stamford Bridge.
Big
we've done it.
Big David Crossing, the former West Ham and Norwich strike. We don't need any more of them.
Advice, Paul. Advice to celebrities. Here we go. Keza's been in touch. We were on a flight back from Atlanta.
Yeah.
And Paul McGinley was sitting behind us.
Mm-hmm.
My mate, having had a few, told Paul in the Ryder Cup later on that year, just remember when you're on the 18th, putting to win, it
putting to win it. Life's a party and you're invited. And as you know, he did. He put the... Wow, what a great bit of advice.
Homespun philosophy there from his slightly drunk mate. It's nothing better, isn't there, being accosted by a drunk bloke, really, with a little bit of sage advice.
Got to live life, mate.
Yeah.
Grab life with both hands.
Paul, cheers, mate. Thanks.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Andy will be here. Charlie, you're back on Thursday, of course.
Thursday for a beautifully played birthday spread again.
Yeah, all good, clean fun. But thanks for joining us. If you're able to listen from one tomorrow, that would be great. If not, the podcast is available around 4 o'clock.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.